The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keys. Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, the State of the Union is doomed. Gary?
Well, before we get I've got to give one of my neighbors just credit. He just is not giving up. He still has his Christmas lights on.
Still has them on?
Still has them on.
All right.
Brightly shining.
Okay.
A beacon, you could probably see it from a satellite.
Huh.
It's funny because every day I pull out of my driveway. Every night I pull out, I look down the street.
And they're still on?
And they're still on.
Well, they're probably on a timer, and have you checked on the guy? Maybe he's in trouble.
I don't know. He lives about 10 houses down, so I don't know. I don't know who he is.
But it's just, if they're 10 houses down, we don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
No. One or two houses down, we'll check on him. 10 houses down, I'm not walking all the way to check on his welfare.
I really wonder whether the house has been sold because you don't see any lights on in the house. And I wonder if they're on vacation or gone for a long trip, and it's just on a timer. And because I haven't seen much movement outside.
Yeah, I hope they're okay.
Outside the but then again, I'm going by at 10:30 at night. So
right, yeah.
Most houses on my street look completely dark at that point. So.
Right.
There were a few other. I mean, up until this weekend, we probably had four or five houses within a three or four block area that still had their lights on. So.
Well, all right. Good.
But
that's the old Christmas spirit, isn't it?
That's good. And unless they're setting them up for next year.
It could be.
That could be it. All right, you're ready to go. We've got so much to talk about. So many important things to analyze in the world today. In fact, I have this audio cut ready to go right here.
Okay.
You ready?
All right, what do we got?
Well, because it became apparently even a couple of days after it became a huge issue on ESPN.
Mm.
What? Is Colin Kaepernick back in the news again?
Oh.
No.
Is Brady out for the rest of the season?
No, because this is combining politics and sports.
Is Brady, who was a Trump supporter, out for the rest of the season? See how easy it is? See? It's not that hard.
Did Brady collude with Giuliani? There's got to be something there. We'll get to that here in just a couple of moments. But are you ready for this? Stephen A. Smith on ESPN concerning the All-American meal served and paid for at least $5,500 by President Trump for the national championship Clemson football team.
Classless on the part of the President of the United States. I don't give a damn that, you know, they're talking about White House employees on furlough because of the whole border security issue with the Democrats and what. I don't want to hear all of that.
There's nothing to
do. I'm saying
not the way I would phrase
this. This is what Sarah Sanders said. I mean, I can read you the quote if you want to. I'm just please don't hold me accountable.
Reliable sources.
That's what she's saying. Mm-hmm. That's what she's saying.
Disgraceful and classless is what he called it.
Yeah. I don't know. First of all, the president himself. Now, if the president had stood up there and said, you know, I'm a billionaire. I never eat this junk. That he might be getting closer to a point, Mr. Smith. But the president's favorite food is McDonald's.
Yes. Anybody who follows the president knows that.
Yep.
And so they don't have the chefs working.
No.
They're down to a skeleton.
In fact, there was one staffer that set all of that up on that table.
They're down to a skeleton staff, and he said, let's do an all-American meal for college kids.
Right.
Pizza, burgers, and fries.
Right. And by the way, they probably went home that night or back to wherever and went back to the campus. I don't know where they went. But they probably decided to go out for more fast food. They're college kids.
But you know what's great about it? You can't even, you just have to sit there and laugh at this kind of stuff because Stephen A. Smith faking this outrage. Disgraceful. I don't care what the hell. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to get, like, that deserved hell being thrown in there. Got to get the hell. I can't. This is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
This is classless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the hell the problem are. To serve burgers and pizza and college and fries to college students mm-hmm. who have won a championship in a game.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
So here's my question. What would have happened if the president, out of his own pocket, set up a carving station with several different types of meat, all different types of great food?
Well,
he would have said he's flaunting this, he's doing this with his own money, while the furloughed employees and their families are going without pay and going hungry.
Yes, exactly. Well, the other thing that I think is fascinating are stories, you know, that you and I would look at, like that story, which would go in one ear and out the other. Oh, that's really nice. And then you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And the left obsesses over, they've got a narrative of the president to begin with,
mm-hmm.
that he is just this evil, evil, evil guy. And anything that he does, there is never a positive thought that goes through this president's mind, you know, in their mind,
right,
that everything he does has to be this incredible evil, that they have to show this outrage. And that's why I've said with Stephen A. Smith, with throwing the hell in there. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the hell. I mean, this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like this incredible rage that he has because there's been such an injustice done.
Mm-hmm.
This is the liberal mindset today. Where you and I looked at it and went, oh, that's nice. we moved on to more important stories.
Yeah, I thought it was actually nice. Kind of funny and lighthearted, and thought to myself, all right, if I'm on that team, the only thing I'm thinking of is we're at the White House because we won.
Yeah.
And then I'm walking through and I walk in and I see all the fast food. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. And years later, they're going to remember that. Years later, many Americans who aren't on that team will remember this because it was a lighthearted moment. Real simple. Get over yourself, Mr. Smith. Feigned outrage. That makes me outraged. Did I feign that pretty well?
Yeah. I could care less.
Did you see the faces on a number of the players as they walked up?
Yeah. Well, you know something? Maybe that's why the outrage exists.
Right, because there wasn't a bigger outrage. He had to create his own.
Right, that the players were not, that they thought it was great, and no, the symbolism of Trump doing this. But you make a great point. If it was an exotic meal, they'd be saying, here, these employees are on furlough, they're hurting, and there he is flaunting his wealth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what, of course, they... No matter what he does, he is going to get criticized for it. And that's why we've always said, look, this president deserves criticism in certain areas. Mm-hmm. All presidents do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the substance of the actual ideas, and it's the important things. But if you know anything about this president, you know his favorite food is fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And he views football as an all-American sport. And so, hey, we've got nobody to serve you anything else. We would have, but the government is shut down. We're on a skeleton staff. And mm-hmm. And so what's the easiest thing? You go out and you get fast food. There's only one White House employee, apparently, from what we're told, who was there who could set it up. And he set it all up, and it's burgers and fries and pizza and
mm-hmm. chicken nuggets.
And they mm-hmm. seem to have just the team seemed to have a grand old time. And again, it got on our it got on our show. You know, a minute of lighthearted banter, right? That was,
right.
And then we did say, how will the left spin this? Well, now you see it.
Yeah, well, if they can't find the outrage,
they'll create the outrage on something that doesn't matter at all. At all.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter at all. You know what it is? They're also furious that Clemson went to the White House. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
they're
furious. Right.
That Clemson didn't reject it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that everybody seemed to be happy, it just burns. The rage that they have and the hatred that they have for President Trump is what controls every thought. And so something that is a non-story,
mm-hmm.
cute, interesting, not demeaning by the president. The team didn't take it as being demeaning. Well, some may, because now they're being told it was demeaning.
Yeah, right.
But overall, it was just like, well, no, the president paid for it out of his own pocket. There's, shutdown going on, did that. Would have been different if he just went out and got 1,000 pizzas.
Right.
Would have been different if he went out and got Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been acceptable to Stephen A. Smith?
Nothing.
Of course, it'd be nothing.
If, again, it's the old joke. If he walked on water, they'd complain how he can't swim.
Well, I know some people get angry over that. I'm not going to waste my, I'll invest my frustration on other things out there and my occasional anger on other things that I view as much more important. I just get a kick out of it because I look at it and I just see you could see the rage in him, the absolute rage over something that's nothing. And you realize that for the left out there and at ESPN, these people just burn with rage that they can't even describe. And they rage and they hate over something that is completely a non-story. It is insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
And they go crazy. This shows you how hatred can consume your heart and soul.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the president does. Doesn't matter what this president does. Everything, everything is a target.
So I just, that was my reaction when I saw it. I burst out laughing. Like, wow, look at this. I'd hate to have that kind of mind where you are controlled every single day by this completely emotional and non-critical thinking, hatred, and rage that consumes every cell of your body. Mm. Because that's what you see in his body language and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's just full of hate and rage.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, but there is something that, to me, that just makes me laugh when I see that. And, I laugh, but part of me goes, oh, too bad. I wish somebody wasn't like that, because it's got to be a tough thing. But look, he's an adult and he can choose how he wants to live his life. But to have rage and hatred over something like this shows you the pettiness of the left.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Never ending.
Never ending. All right. We got a great show ahead. Will there be a State of the Union address or a letter? The Secret Service disagrees with Nancy's assessment that they can't protect the president and the state of the and Congress and the State of the Union address. Uh-oh. Top Democratic leader says walls obviously work in some areas and are not immoral. Steny Hoyer yesterday on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
The Fed says student debt has hurt the U.S. housing market. A Department of Justice official warned the FBI and the Department of Justice in the summer of 2016, this is very important to understand the timeline, that the dossier was connected to Clinton and might be biased. They were warned.
Yep.
They knew without question in the summer of 16, and this is Bruce Orr, who actually briefed top FBI and Department of Justice officials. In fact, one of the Department of Justice officials that he briefed that the dossier was in essence not intelligence, but a Clinton connected to Clinton and might be biased, is one of the top deputies of Robert Mueller right now in the investigation against Trump, which you and I have said, if you're an investigator, the logical road that this would take you down, if you're looking for any collusion to hack the election, which all of a sudden in the last 6 months has become hack the DNC, which I find interesting, but originally it was hack the election and then became to change the outcome of the election, the only road you could go, the first road you would go down as an investigator would lead you right down the Hillary and the DNC road, because that's where collusion with the Russians, call it indirectly, call it, it doesn't matter, it happened. The collusion with the Russians happened with the DNC and Hillary. If they don't go down that road, if they don't go down that road and mention it, because that was the goal, to look for collusion with the Russians in the campaign and any crimes that might come out of it, well, then you go right down that road. And if you don't, it does show the bias if Mueller doesn't have that in his report. I don't know. Maybe it won't be a part of the report that's ever released. We may never see it. We don't know.
Right.
But plus a whole bunch more. Four Americans killed in an attack in Syria that ISIS takes blame for. That more on the way, plus your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls, 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Radio 866-90-RED-EYE. Look, I don't want to get emails saying, but you guys complained for years about never getting cake from management.
We still don't get cake. That's not a complaint. That's a fact. And I'm not happy about it. But don't call it a complaint.
Didn't we get cake like in the last year, though? I thought we got it for something because we weren't complaining about it anymore.
Nope. That's... No, we didn't.
We didn't get it.
And if we did, I'm still going to say no.
Oh, we didn't get it from management. We got it.
Somebody, a friend of ours, a colleague of ours.
Right. Okay, that's where we
brought
got
us cake.
Okay,
yeah.
So it wasn't for like when we had our 40th or now.
Yeah, so now our complaint is management never brings us cake.
Yeah, 50th anniversaries, 40th, whatever. Yeah, that's okay. So I just want to make sure.
Yes. So.
Well, we should get something better than cake. How disrespectful.
There is nothing better than cake. So. If there's a carving station, I want them to be carving a huge piece of cake.
Well, let me ask this. This is something I don't know.
Hmm?
Did the president buy, because they got stuff from McDonald's, did they get the apple pies, too?
I don't know. Did they buy dessert? I didn't see any dessert on the table.
Yeah.
I would have to go back and look.
Then again, if it's an all-American meal, if you think about it, when you got burgers, fries, and pizza, you really eat so much of that where you really don't go for dessert.
And then again, I don't play for Clemson. You have a point, but for Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
We have an area of rain and mixed precip in the nation's heartland. Near St. Louis, all rain. As you get over to portions of western Illinois, it's all rain. But then just slightly northward in northern Missouri and central Illinois, look for that rain-snow boundary and a mixed bag of sleet and freezing rain. That system's all moving to the east throughout the day today, affecting portions of central Illinois, central Indiana. For Thursday night into Friday, we'll see portions of Virginia, D.C., central Ohio, and eastern West Virginia, all under the threat of some freezing rain. Move north of that line, and for Pennsylvania, New York, including New York City, look for all snow, and it's a fast-moving system. By Friday during the day, we'll see temperatures warm up, and the snow and mixed precip not quite a problem. Mountain snow and rains continue to hammer the western U.S. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
A show for everyone, including those living in a delusional world. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks to John in Arkansas for reminding us that in 1939, Roosevelt served the Queen of England hot dogs.
Everybody loves a hot dog. It's an American, that's an American classic.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, if it was American, Trump didn't serve hot dogs. He can't be American if he didn't serve hot dogs.
That's what was missing, too, hot dogs.
Yeah. What about onion rings?
What about nachos? You know, I mean, I'm thinking of, like, what you would buy at a game, right?
Yes.
set up a concession stand. Snow cones.
A couple of stories out there. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, the Democrat from Maryland, acknowledged on Wednesday on Fox News special report with Brett Baer that border walls obviously work in some areas, and he rejected suggestion that barriers should be removed from where they already exist. The number two House Democrat additionally asserted that the question of whether to fund President Trump's proposed border wall, a dispute at the center of the unprecedented partial government shutdown, is, quote, not an issue of morality, end of quote. This from Greg Rhee at Fox News.
Yeah.
Hoyer's comments were seemingly at odds with the,
seemingly
with the positions of other House Democrats, he doesn't put this in there, but I will, including Nancy Pelosi, who have argued that border walls like the one Trump is proposing are ineffective and immoral.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's which is interesting coming from him. So then you combine that with the, you know, the story in the Times that said, you know, people need to, and Nancy needs to quit saying it's immoral because the rank and file Democrats don't agree.
The New York Times story last week that was the first hint in the mainstream media that that many Democrats want her to shut up about that.
Right. And so was this kind of in support of that story and that idea? Almost like a Claire McCaskill move. Those crazy Democrats. I don't believe it's immoral like those crazy Democrats. But, I mean, could that be the effort here? To go out and say, well, it's not immoral. And have him do it.
Now, the other thing is, Steny Hoyer said that the Democrats are willing to compromise.
Where?
With the president.
if the compromise...
By the way, that reaction was my... reaction in
where?
My head.
Well, you said, yeah.
Where?
That where?
What
compromise? No, their compromise means reopen the government and we'll give you the bill we passed that has $1.3 billion. We'll give you $1.3 billion.
Yeah, here it is. Well, we're prepared to do that, referring to reaching a deal with the Trump administration. I think there can be a compromise position. There are all sorts of alternatives that we could pursue. I think to come up with a consensus solution to achieve the objective that I think we all want to achieve, and that is a secure and safe border for our country and for our citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyer stressed that Democrats have supported substantial restraints, including fencing and other technologies. Not now.
Yeah, no.
In the past, yes. Now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they work in some places. They've made it clear, not one dime.
No.
Doesn't matter whether it's a fence, doesn't matter whether you call it a fence or a wall, nothing for Trump when it comes to anything that is a barrier of any sort.
Right. I mean, that's it. There's $1.3 billion. That's their compromise, and that's what the speaker is saying. So unless she changes her mind, which ain't going to happen... I mean, he's wrong.
Well, I still think that whether it's this interview or whatever, you have to go back to the point. Because remember, as we have stated, that, and this is the reality of it, this isn't This isn't a debate on wall or not a wall. It's a debate of people that want border security and those who do not. Mm-hmm. And with Steny Hoyer, because I think you're going to hear this now, because even what they have said, even some of the things they have said so far, they realized aren't probably polling good. Nancy Pelosi saying that a wall is, you know, is immoral, and Democrats saying, you got to, as the New York Times article said, you got to shut up. You know, they didn't say this, but we can't be talking about things like that. We need to talk just about the shutdown and how people are harmed, because they believe that they can't win the argument. Well, now, you know, Steny Hoyer coming out and stating that they are for substantial restraints. The question would be, how? What is your goal? Is your goal to reduce? Is your goal to ensure that illegal immigrants do not enter this country and stay in this country? Because if that's the case, if you claim you're for border security, these are the questions that need to be asked, by the way, by the conservative media.
Right.
How can you be the party for sanctuary cities? If your opinion as a party is, once you cross the border, you get to stay, then how can you not be for open borders? If you believe that once you cross the border, do you understand the impression you're giving the American public? You say no more barriers,
right?
But once you cross, you get to stay. That's our opinion. We won't cooperate with the federal government. If you're a criminal illegal immigrant, we will not cooperate with the government until it might get to a certain particular point.
Right.
If you are an illegal immigrant, we wish to give you free health care. You get health care free, paid for by the taxpayer of the United States. You can get welfare benefits. That is our goal, to make ensure that all, in every state, that all illegal immigrants get welfare at the same point. How can you hold that position and not be for open borders? How do you reconcile that in your head? And that question, as far as I know, has not been addressed to any Democrat leader right now.
No.
And if they can't answer that question, then you accuse them of being for open borders and chaos.
Yep. And it's, you know, it is the simplest debate you can have, because they keep handing you everything you need.
You know, you and I talked about this. I feel like I'm in a state of redundancy. Keep repeating the same thing over again, but the Democrats keep repeating the same thing over again. And the only defense, and we're not the only argument back, is the same argument that we hold. And so they make the same argument every day, which means we've got to go with the argument that defeats theirs every day. And so, sorry if it sounds redundant at times. You guys keep repeating yourself. Yeah, because they do, and they keep getting away with it.
Nobody else is calling them on it.
No.
I mean, other conservative media, but really, you're not hearing the people that are actually part of the so-called debate. You're not hearing anything from them. Nothing.
They mentioned last week in an interview, Democratic Texas Representative Veronica Escobar told CNN that we know walls don't work. Well, now you've got the second in command right beneath Nancy Pelosi that say walls do work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. We have some infighting now within the Democrat leadership.
Well, you know, it goes along with that AP story that we had coming out of the weekend. I think it was on the Monday morning show, where they were talking about the president and what his tactic might be now. And, you know, and according to their, you know, version of the story, he was going to appeal to freshman Democrats in the House, which I don't know why he would do that, but rank and file Democrats as well. And we thought, okay, that's certainly a reasonable tactic. There's no reason to believe that he reached out to Steny Hoyer. There's no reason to believe that is spurred on.
Oh, that's a great point.
By anything that the president is doing. So this is coming from within.
Well, that's why we brought up the New York Times story last week, saying, "Look, They know it.
Right.
The New York Times understands that this is going on inside of their party, mm-hmm. that they're saying, and because we have said this all along, we don't believe, if you're a Democrat voter, we don't believe that all Democrat voters agree with the with where their party has been going. Our accusation, got an email yesterday, I'm not for open borders. How come you keep saying Democrats? We have been specific. We have said the party.
Yes.
The party. Not necessarily all the voters. The party has become the party of open borders, and we have stated that that's what the Republicans should use in order to put them in a defensive mode. So you get a reaction like Steny Hoyer. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose then, and then when he says, okay, walls do work, well, then why are you against for Trump? And why are you for sanctuary cities? Once they open themselves up and claim that they're not for open borders, and as Steny Hoyer saying, as he said yesterday, that walls do work are not immoral, then you go straight to sanctuary cities.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. How can you say that when your party is the party that believes that once you cross the border, you should be able to stay and live in this country and get health care benefits?
I mean,
and get welfare and be able to vote in local elections. Do yeah. you believe that? Do you agree with your party? You separate one from another.
Right. Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. And there has to be a strategy in the Republican Party about how to debate. I had a gentleman write to me yesterday and say that the problem isn't most Americans understand exactly where the Democrats stand for open borders. And I went, No, they don't. And I said, the majority of Americans don't know that we have what the three branches of government are. The majority of Americans in polls don't know what the freedoms of the First Amendment are. As we said on yesterday's show, I can't tell you why. I'd have to look at each individual instance of every of the hundreds of millions of people in America that walk around every day without any clue. So the point is from the Republican Party to teach, to market, to promote, to debate. And you hit on the actual issue. And the issue is, I'm for border security. They're not. There are a variety of things. We need more walling. You can call it fencing. You can call it triple fencing. You can call it a wall. You can call it a slat. You can call it, that's one of the things that we want. Mm-hmm. A barrier, more border, more customs agents, more judges to accelerate deportation so that incentive is not there. Well, look, once we get there, they let us go and we can stay for as long as we want. No. Mandate E-Verify. Have the federal government and call out any one of your congressmen or any one of your local mayors or city councils that believe in sanctuary cities, that we will not cooperate with federal law. And then at the same time, advocate legal immigration, as the president has already done, as he did with Jim Acosta, during that great debate that, as you pointed out, nobody ever talked about that. Nobody ever talked about what the president said, because Acosta tried to label all, illegal immigrants with legal immigrants, and the president called him on it. And it was a great moment because we said, finally!
Right.
Now keep it up. Do it every day. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't get it every day. We get it once in a while from a few people in the Republican Party. Media will bring it up one day and, the conservative media, and then drop it. And it's like, no, you've got to be consistent and you've got to pound it every single day. Look. And to the one gentleman who wrote me yesterday and said, well, it's not marketing. Why do you think you see the same commercials all the time? We all basically know what the products are out there, yet people still run commercials.
Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
I don't believe that runs anymore, but it just shows you the point.
It's the repetition.
It's the repetition. It's the repetition in anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to... We'll get to more of this coming up here. Just got a break. Just so much to talk about. Your calls and comments coming up to 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. But as we now are, you know, well into the partial shutdown, no indication yesterday as to, you know, how this might be resolved.
Still. No. But it makes you wonder now if there is a crack in the ranks there in the Democrats.
Yes.
And does the president know that? Is that why he's holding out still?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
You and I were, and we have harped on this over the last couple of weeks, and that's in any debate that you're trying to win, you've got to be consistent and coherent on the message. And we believe one of the things that's most frustrating to us, and we've repeated this over and over again, but it's a very important thing to repeat over and over again when the opposition keeps repeating the same erroneous things over and over and over and over again. But we believe that it's never been easier to defend conservative principles. It's never been easier to defend border security.
Right.
You can do it. You can slowly chip away if you are blunt and you ask the critical thinking questions and demand an answer. I want to give an example here because this is Steny Hoyer yesterday, and this is Steny Hoyer on with, and I don't have time to play the entire interview, but we're going to just play a part of it here when he's on with Brett Baer. And Brett Baer simply asks him the questions. He plays the quotes. He played the quote of Nancy Pelosi. Remember, Steny Hoyer is second. Beneath her and, you know, under Nancy Pelosi. And she talked about it being immoral. And he said, no, it's not immoral. That a border wall is not immoral. Well, unless you, as somebody in the media, plays the audio cut and directly ask someone, as he did here, they don't have to answer the question. I want to play a couple of the questions that he had to answer when Brett Baer simply said, here is what people are stating in your particular party. But I want to get to the last part of it where he addresses a wall being immoral. And a wall isn't immoral if it keeps people out, only if it keeps people in. Well, as far as I know, nobody is suggesting the wall is there to keep people in the United States. I don't believe that Donald Trump has put the wall up so the Hollywood elite don't leave the country. Here's part of this conversation from yesterday.
An issue of morality. A wall is immoral if it tries to imprison people who shouldn't be in prison.
Okay.
That protects people is not immoral. I think the issue is whether it works.
You have all kinds of Democrats speaking out about the wall.
Yes.
Beto O'Rourke, congressman who may be running for president, who knows, said that wall in itself is a racist reaction to a racist myth that does not reflect the reality of this country at all. Do you think a wall or barrier is racist?
Look, Brett.
Listen, Mr. leader. Here's the bottom line.
I don't talk in those terms. Yeah. I don't think that's the way we ought to look at it. Again, the reason I mentioned Republican senators and House members and the fact that the House didn't bring a bill to the floor until there were 10 days left in the year is because there are an awful lot of people who just believe a wall in and of itself will not work. And the wall is not the best place to spend money. That's what I believe.
So for the people who are living in those border states, especially with some barrier that has been constructed, would you remove those existing barriers because you say they don't work?
No.
So they work there.
Brett, let me tell you, say the people who live on the border area, you talk to the people along the Rio Grande, but particularly a lot of towns that have commerce back and forth on a regular basis and have no problem. That's why Senator Cornyn is not a huge advocate of the wall. And you can ask him and read his quotes. I'm not saying he's not supporting the president in building the wall.
So they work some places.
Obviously, they work some places. But the president wanted to first build a wall, apparently 1,954 miles of, and he changed that very substantially. And the debate ought to be not on morality or racism. I will say that we're not pleased with some of the rhetoric that has come about dealing with those coming across the border. And we think some of that rhetoric was, in fact, racist. We think some of that rhetoric was to inflame and was not based upon facts. But having said that, we're prepared to work with the president to make sure our borders are secure, and that's the important point.
Last thing, Mr. Leader.
Okay, now he's, as you can tell, he's all over the place because you can, as far as I'm concerned, he's a little shook up because Bret Baier's just asking some critical thinking questions.
Right, they're not hard questions.
No. Now, of course, he's going to attack Trump at the same time that, you know, and by the way, the big falsehood is that they're willing to compromise where? Where?
Tell me one point. Where does that exist?
The president has already compromised. Steny Hoyer just admitted it. The president originally wanted 1,900 miles. He's not talking about 1,900. He's talking about 200 miles right now, mm-hmm. where the Border Patrol is suggesting that it could help them an awful lot. Mm-hmm. He's gone from a concrete wall to a fence. Mm-hmm. You have stated the defense is effective. You have stated that using racism, that using racism should not be used by your party, that your leader, the person who is one step above you, mm-hmm. who says that the wall is immoral. No, the wall is not immoral because walls are only immoral if they keep people in, not if they keep people out. Exactly the points that Republicans are consistently making. And that's the point that we're trying to bring up. If you stay on message, you can tear apart the leadership of the Democrats. He's second in charge of the House.
Yep.
And Bret Baier, in a nice way, was able to tear apart all the major arguments that you hear coming from the Democrats.
And so now, here's my question. Steny Hoyer certainly is going to have to answer to Nancy for this. Yes. Oh, that's going to be awkward if it hasn't happened already. But my question is, if you hear that from a Steny Hoyer, you know, he did sound flustered.
Yes. He was all over the place, yes.
But he threw the speaker under the proverbial bus. It's not immoral.
It's not immoral and it's not racist.
I mean, this isn't somebody who just left, you know, Congress, you know, and you know, is now retired and can say things. This isn't somebody who is thinking about running. This isn't a pundit.
House Majority Leader.
You have someone here who has significant sway. Add that with, again, the AP story the other day that the president was reaching out to rank-and-file Democrats and freshman Democrats in the House. I don't know what they could do for you, but there's no reason to believe that he reached out to Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer said this on his own and didn't have to.
I want to get to the last part to see if he asked the question that then has to be asked.
Okay. Well, not to do it in an environment that he's created of this shutdown of government. It's not helpful.
Last thing. Why not give a lump of money, whatever that number is, a compromise amount, to the Border Patrol and say, you do what you think is the best way to secure America. If it includes a wall or a barrier or slats or whatever you want to call it, why not do that? Why is there not a compromise position here? And how long is this going to last?
Look, I think there can be a compromise position. I don't know whether the Border Patrol or some commission or the governors of the four border states working together. There are two Democrats, two Republicans. There are all sorts of alternatives that we could pursue, I think.
But you haven't brought them up to the president.
Hmm. Where is that presentation to the president?
Right. What is the compromise?
Because the only thing we've heard from the Speaker of the House is we're not going to give him a dime for the wall.
Right.
So what compromise?
And we know that the Border Patrol wants sections where there are new walls.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the compromise? There is no. What compromise have you offered? He's talking about, well, there are things that we could do. Well, you haven't done them yet. You claim you wish to open the government, but at the same time, and you say you wish to open the government. Remember, this is the House Majority Leader.
Mm-hmm.
You wish to open the government. You're willing to compromise, but you haven't compromised or offered anything to the president. Nothing.
No. And because you would hear it by now. We offered this to the president, and we believe that this is middle ground.
Well, right. But Brett Baer's telling them, why don't you do? He's giving them ideas to compromise.
Right.
We're willing to compromise. No, you're not willing to compromise because you haven't compromised. The negotiations have been going on for over a month now, or the non-negotiations have been going on for over a month now.
Right.
But you could tell he was flustered because he was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that publicly he cannot defend Nancy Pelosi stating that a wall is immoral. They know they can't sell that. I believe that the majority of the Democratic Party wants that. They want that. That's what they want to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't believe that their own rank and file voters will go for it, but it's what they actually want.
Mm-hmm.
They want that message that it's immoral and racist. And so you've got somebody like Steny Hoyer knowing that politically you can't sell that and that they're willing to compromise with the president. It's wrong what they're doing, but when it comes down to the actual substance of willing to compromise, negotiate, and put out a coherent message from the Democrats that you seriously are for border security and here's what we'll do, nothing. It's the same old. Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
Except he got caught in a situation where somebody is asking, Brett Baer is asking critical thinking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows he can't agree with Nancy Pelosi and say the wall in itself is immoral and racist. He knows he can't sell that.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if there is a break. Is there a break in the Democrats on Capitol Hill? In the House? Is that what the president knows? Does the president believe that or know that? And is that why he's holding out?
Well, when you see that yesterday, you do understand. When you see Steny Hoyer, you do understand that there is part of the leadership of the Democrats that realize they can't sell their main message.
Right.
Politically, that it's what they want, but they realize, Steny Hoyer realizes, and if he realizes it, some others in there realize, we can't sell this message, which is why you need to keep pounding the fact that you're for open borders. That's why we keep saying it, because when you confront them with it, they back off, they back off, they back off. You've
right.
got to hold their feet to the fire.
Well, and that's the whole point. The president can hold out, I don't know for how long, But what is he holding out for if he's not also lobbing all of this across the bow?
Well, I'll say this right
now. Every single day.
Brett Baer, in that short 2-3 minute segment, made more critical thinking arguments against the Democrats than the administration has so far.
Oh, yeah. Than anybody I've seen, except for, you know, what we're doing here.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Right. Certainly, that's...
I meant inside the Washington establishment.
Sure. Right.
We're the Texas establishment.
Yeah. I just don't... I don't know. I really don't know. Again, because it this really does have to be the question here. If Steny Hoyer is saying the wall's not immoral. That's a huge drop coming from a guy in a huge position. That's a walk back. That makes Nancy look bad in the negotiation that's going on right now inside the Beltway. This is not something small.
By the way, we lead the Texas. The Texas Beltway.
Yes, we do. Yes, by far.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on DOT drug and alcohol testing. Your employer has requested that you submit a sample for a drug or alcohol test, but you fail to show up. If this happens, you are in violation of DOT regulations. Drivers must understand that refusing to take a drug or alcohol test is treated the same as a failed test. This means you will be immediately removed from your truck. Your employer will then advise you of the next steps in the process. Before you are eligible to drive again, you must take the following steps. You must be evaluated by a substance abuse professional, complete prescribed treatment and counseling, and pass a return-to-duty drug and/or alcohol test. And finally, drivers must take at least 6 follow-up tests in the coming year, but follow-up testing can last up to 5 years. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Yeah, so, again, as we all know, the president, I'm sure the president aides watch, you know, when Steny Hoyer is on or any leaders, they saw that. And so they look at it and they say, when you think about it, that is the first crack. When you think about the last month, Steny Hoyer saying that a wall's not immoral unless it's a prison, completely rejects what the speaker has said. He's House Majority Leader. And then on the immorality, and then O'Rourke going around saying it's, you know, a racist response to a racist myth, Steny Hoyer rejects that also.
Yeah.
That's the first crack that you've seen in the Democrats over the last month. The
right.
biggest crack.
Right.
No, I think it's really the only crack you've seen.
Right. Well, here's the thing is that he wouldn't have to go as far as to say, no, it's not, and no, it's not immoral, no, it's not racist, and this hyperbole is wrong. He could say easily, look, I'm not going to speak for other people.
Right.
Other people have said other things. What I'm going to tell you is we don't need a wall, and we're not going to fund a wall. He could have easily said that and gotten away with it.
And he didn't.
He didn't. And there's a reason.
Now, I will say this, and you and I, looking at the video, to me, he did come across as flustered from simple critical thinking questions that, well, maybe nobody ever asks them those critical thinking questions, so when they do, they're shocked by it. Remember when Obama, where was he, when Obama was on Fox?
Mm.
and they were just livid.
With Chris Wallace.
With Chris Wallace. They were livid because Chris Wallace asked follow-up questions, and they publicly stated, we didn't expect follow-up questions.
Yeah, how dare you ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and you know, Steny Hoyer's been around long enough to know that if you're on Fox News, especially if you're on with Bret Baier,
you're going to get some of that.
Right. And so, you know, if you're ill-prepared, then you're ill-prepared, right? And then he clearly was ill-prepared. So I don't know where they go from here. I actually don't know, you know, if this is just a fumble by Steny Hoyer. But it's hard to believe because he was fairly, even though he was flustered, he was deliberate in his answers. You know, I could say that if he was flustered and would have said, well, I don't know, I don't know what other people said, and I don't, that would be different. But he was deliberate in his answers.
Well, the interesting thing is, did you see how he was interjecting? He would go after Trump and then say something that was going after, you know, O'Rourke or Pelosi,
right,
and then go back to going after Trump again. He was like going back and forth, where if you weren't paying attention, you'd say, is he talking about the same people? Yeah. Well, no, he was going after Trump there. Now he's going after Pelosi here. Now back to Trump. Now after O'Rourke. Mm-hmm. And he was going back. And it was almost as if his mind was working so quick, saying, well, if I'm going to disagree with the Pelosi, then I've got to insult Trump.
Right.
Listen to Red Eye Radio on your Amazon Echo every day, anytime. Say, Alexa, enable the Red Eye Radio skill. Then, anytime you want to listen, say, Alexa, open Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days.
Yep.
And we covered the Steny Hoyer thing for the reason that It may give you an idea of what the White House is thinking.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see if that's part of the play, you know, going forward in the next week or two. This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. We have a new addition to the Red Eye family, Red Eye's Extra Mile podcast. We have a couple of them up already, and we want you to go to our website, redeyeradioshow.com. Drivers, we're talking to people from all over the industry, including and starting with my friend Jamie Jones, the managing editor at Landline Magazine, and we talk about a number of things, covering a wide spectrum of issues in the industry, including ELDs, hours of service, and everything else. So if you want to check it out, you can do that anytime on your time, whether you're driving or during your downtime. You can check it out. It's Red Eye's Extra Mile podcast, and go to redeyeradioshow.com.
So when you look over the last week, you got to Friday of last week, when Lindsey Graham went in to talk about to the president, then he came out and was talking and was tweeting and saying that the Democrats are not going to concede in any way. They're not going to negotiate in any way. This thing is over, and the president should declare a national emergency. And at that point, I really thought that as we got to Friday night, Saturday morning, that the president would do that. Just because the White House didn't respond and didn't disagree with Lindsey Graham and was keeping on the same narrative. Then Lindsey Graham was on the Sunday morning shows and all of a sudden started talking about the fact that the president should, and we called it should come up to some type of temporary agreement that would be some type of cooling off period. And then the president on Monday came out and said that they weren't going to use the national emergency. And then by Tuesday, it was being reported by the Wall Street Journal and others that the aides were saying the president is not going to go down the national emergency path. In fact, I haven't heard anything about the national emergency in the last 24 hours.
No,
have you?
No.
That's like dead and gone. So that was something that was being used as an option, a negotiating point, however you want to look at it, but now that's gone, which made us question yesterday, all right, where will the president go next? What are they thinking? what, you know, what are their, and we don't know what kind of internal polls they're taking and what the internal polls are showing. And so when you had Steny Hoyer come out yesterday, we're trying, like everybody else, just to find any idea about what's going on inside the political parties. You know, what's actually going on inside. We sort of know what's going on. We know more of what's going on in the White House.
Right.
Because
right.
The president tweets. But you really don't know what is going on inside the Democrat leadership right now. So when Steny Hoyer came out and said that, the House Majority Leader, and said walls aren't immoral, and then came out and said walls aren't racist.
Right.
To do that when he was given the examples of the head of the Democratic Party right now, which is Nancy Pelosi, and then the rising star of the Democrat Party, which is Bob O'Rourke.
We call him Bob for short.
I saw that. Somebody did that on. Somebody did put on
Bob
social media.
O'Rourke.
They said,
yeah.
Not Beto, but it says Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
That's a Bob. And I said, we've been calling him Robert Francis.
Mm-hmm.
See, we were using the distinguished Robert. But when I saw Bob yesterday, I said, let's call him Bob from now on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to separate Bob O'Rourke from independent Bob, though. but you think about it. Nancy Pelosi, who is the leader of the Democrats. She's mm-hmm. the leader.
Yeah.
She's the top honcho right now of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on Fox News and says they're not immoral only when walls act as prisons. And everybody knows the walls are not to keep people in the United States.
That was a deliberate answer. This was not, you know, yes, he was flustered, but this is not a flustered answer. In fact, all of his answers were very deliberate.
And then to reject the racism label.
Right.
Of it. And then to say that they'd be willing. Here's the other point, too. There is no indication that they are, but he said they're willing to compromise. He made that point when you've got Schumer and Pelosi. No, there is no compromising. Nothing. We open the government. That's it. And Steny Hoyer is now saying there is room for compromising. Now, I don't believe him at this moment.
Right, right.
Well, let's put it this way. I didn't believe it yesterday. The fact that he said it. And this is what we are thinking. Was he just flustered?
Hmm.
Well, flustered, you don't go into the specific details. You may say, well, no, look, a wall isn't immoral. You know, a wall necessarily isn't immoral. But the fact is, but he didn't just say that. He said the wall isn't immoral because it can only be immoral if it's a prison to keep people in.
Right.
He was specific on it. So it was more than just being flustered. He wanted to get out and justify the position that a wall was not moral, more than most Republicans have defended the president on.
Right. You know, I think he stopped short of, I would really like to make America great again. I mean, that's a bit of hyperbole, but the point being is that in his position, House Majority Leader, he was very deliberate in those answers. And again, you know, if he comes out tomorrow and says, sorry, I was really drunk last night when I went on Fox News, then maybe we can walk this back. We're not coming to any conclusion. We're just asking a question.
Why?
If you pair it with the New York Times.
Right.
The New York Times, you know, that small little newspaper that leans right. Nope. The newspaper of the left, along with the Washington Post. I don't want to diss. I really don't want to diss the people over at Washington Post. Sorry. And maybe we can throw Politico in there. Okay, that's fine. So we don't hurt anybody's feelings. But I mean, the story of you know the whole idea of you know the wall being immoral and basically they want Nancy, the Speaker, to quit saying that.
Yeah, many Democrats
then just
do,
days right? later, here's Steny Hoyer on Fox News. Well, no, it's not immoral. Sorry, I don't think that's a coincidence.
So is that the crack that the White House sees? Because and I think it's important to lay out what has happened the last week, because I think if you were to poll people last Friday, I think that after he walked out and you're paying attention, the majority of people that were paying attention Friday probably thought, like I did, that, oh, the president's going to declare a national emergency here in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, that was the feeling, yeah.
And all of a sudden to have that gone completely, but by the time we get to the end of the next week, because here we are 6 days later, and Steny Hoyer is rejecting what the Speaker of the House said, Steny Hoyer, the Democrat, if people don't know who he is, the House Majority Leader. He's rejecting what Nancy Pelosi said. He's rejecting what Bob O'Rourke said, that a wall is a racist solution to a racist myth, and then says that the Democrats are willing to compromise. Will he walk it back this morning? That would be the question that I would ask. Will he be forced to walk it back? Because he said they're willing to compromise. Now, there's no indication that they have been, not once, and there still isn't, because saying it and not doing it, not going to the president and saying, look, we're willing to give you something if you give us something.
Well, here's the other thing. Is there pressure on over in the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer? Well, we know, I mean, being from New York, the announcement that New York City is going to give free health care to undocumented immigrants. There has been, you're not seeing it in the media, but there has been on social media, there's been some backlash on that. And I don't know if these people are Trump supporters or not, but New Yorkers saying, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's one thing for the people of New York City that are here legally. You're saying you're going to provide it for people who aren't here legally. So my question is there pressure on Schumer? And then you add the pressure of a Nancy Pelosi with the incoming governor of her state, the new governor of her state, Gavin Newsom, saying, yeah, we'd like to explore the same thing. I'm just asking questions.
So the question is, are they jumping the shark in their, or not jumping the shark, but are they?
Pretty much, yeah. That's the best way to describe maybe.
Did they reach too far?
Right.
It's almost as if, you and I, when we talked about the whole transgender thing, when will they go too far?
Right.
And you and I, we stated this maybe about 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, because it was when the president, the Atlantic asked the President Obama about, look, and, you know, they asked in a blunt way, look, you're mixed, mm-hmm. but you say you're black.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say you're black?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because I believe that race is a social construct.
Right.
Which we just went, whoa. There's now Barack Obama stating that race is what you think you are.
Right.
Not what you are, but what you think you are. And we said it maybe at that time, or maybe even before that, with the whole Rachel Dolezal thing.
Right.
We said, here's where they went too far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many believe that it was still the transgender activists are going too far. But then it was when you keep going down the path, you finally get to a point where people just say, stop it. You can't say you're black if you're white, and mm-hmm. you can't say you're white if you're black.
Right.
Nobody's going to buy it. That's going too far. You can't get to that point. And so one wonders that, did it at this, and we may not be seeing it in the media, except maybe on social media, but did they hurt their own cause that at the moment that they are trying to say that the wall is immoral, that we should be giving health care
mm-hmm.
The California announcement and then the New York City announcement, that finally with everything, with that, with sanctuary cities, with wanting illegals to be able to vote in local elections, that finally they went to a point where even Democrats said, or a significant portion of Democrats said, stop it. You've gone too far.
Right. Well, because I could see Democrats rank and file saying, look, soft immigration enforcement is one thing. Sanctuary city policy goes too far. Still a binary choice, and I'm still going to vote Democrat. Then all of a sudden, well, here come the benefits. Well, then here comes the control. Because if you're talking about being able to, and we've always talked as conservatives, you know, you should have your local leaders are the ones who are more accountable to you because they're closer
right.
to you.
Right.
Right. And so that idea is not lost. It's not that they think like conservatives, but that idea is a very basic idea. We all know that, which means that those local elections have a lasting and immediate effect.
Well, there's also another thing, too. You got to pay for that in the budget this year. You can't put that on debt.
Right. Which means you've got to move something else
or
tax me.
Or tax you. And it's okay as long as we put the burden on future generations.
Right.
But if you're going to tax me, no.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Well, I want to be able to say this. Coming up following the top of the hour, the blockbuster story.
It's a blockbuster.
The blockbuster.
You could die by 10 p.m. Story at 11. Wait, what?
Saliva causes cancer in humans, but only when swallowed in small amounts over a long period of time. That classic George Carlin bit.
Yeah.
The story out there, which really does raise eyebrows because it actually fills in a timeline. It's John Solomon had it in thehill.com. Catherine Herridge of Fox News also added to it last night. Department of Justice official Bruce Orr shared intel from the dossier. In 2016, with prosecutors now on the Mueller team, they knew in 2016 where it all came from.
Yep.
They knew in the summer of 2016.
Right.
Before they ever got the warrant in October of 2017, they knew for, and that's been a little gray area.
It has been.
When did they actually
know?
When did they know that this was political?
Right.
They knew then.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
All right, so if the TSA has blue flu, did I have red flu last Friday? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lost my voice, but they're talking about the rate of absences at TSA, and it's, you know, jumped significantly. From the other day, it was like on that same day a year ago, 2.5% that it jumped on that, you know, same day a year later, the other day, to 6.8%. And they're saying it's growing. And the response is that, well, you know, people can't work for free. They can't work without getting paid. Now, retroactively, they will get paid. But it makes you wonder how long that part of it can last. And how far the administration goes.
Well, you know, people are paying attention. I'm heading to visit one of my lifelong friends. Well, okay, college, from college on, but that's lifelong to me now.
Yeah, sure. Right, yeah. Well, you went to college back in the 40s, so yeah, okay.
my adult life. No, my buddy Jerry and his lovely wife, Mary, who I've known for years. We met as bill collectors in college. We were bill collectors.
So Jerry, Mary, and Gary. Is that what I'm hearing?
Jerry, Mary, and Gary.
Okay.
Yes. Jerry, Mary, and Gary will be hanging out.
All right. What if Harry shows up?
But it's already, you know, I already found the website.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called, I'm just doing this from memory. I wasn't thinking I was going to talk about this, but I think it's infly.com. And they tell you the weights here at DFW.
Oh, okay.
The weights at TSA. Yeah. And so I'll be looking at that. Now, when I fly out, I'm actually flying out of the international terminal. So, I don't know if, you know, it seemed like the vast majority of the waits were under 20 minutes.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I might get, because of the situation, the airline might up me into the pre-check.
Yeah,
but did you see some of the airports, they closed the pre-check? Now, that's got to tick people off when they go, wait a minute, I paid specifically to get pre-check.
Right.
And now you're closing that?
Yeah.
But the majority of the waits were under 20 minutes.
Hmm.
Now, I either, because I'm a premium flyer, I get to be in the premium line, which is normally shorter. A lot of times it's shorter than the TSA pre-check. But I plan on getting there 3 hours early.
Yeah.
I plan on getting there earlier than I normally do, and I'm coming back Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have like a late afternoon flight out. And they're already planning. It's Mary's birthday Sunday, and they want to go out to dinner early, like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I got to be to the airport at 5, and we're already planning. Well, maybe you'll just take an Uber when we start dinner at the restaurant, because I don't know what it's going to be like in Tampa. I'll have to check to see if there's a website to tell me, because
right.
You just don't know how long it's going to be. I know I have not seen a wait. I saw some 60-minute waits, but I haven't seen anything over 60 minutes. But look, in a normal, when I flew out of Buffalo 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I went in the premium line, and I was through in 15 seconds. But the other line, the normal line, you probably were waiting 40 minutes. It was a normal day. Nobody had missed a check at that point. And sometimes it's that long in the normal line to begin with. At depending on what airport you go to. So, but it's something, if it's in the back of my mind, because I want to make sure I'm here for work.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 3-day weekend, but I want to make sure I'm back for work on, Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's 24 hours before that I'll be back in town, over 24 hours, it's in the back of your mind. It's what people are thinking of. And if people are thinking of it, and if it gets worse and people are thinking of their taxes and whether they're going to get that, it's something that is on people's mind, and that's the whole point. When it starts affecting people outside of the actual government workers, that politicians start being concerned about how it will affect them.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've always said that, I think you could probably go to February 1st. Can they go, in terms of the shutdown, can they go past that? Without starting to feel some more pain at, TSA or air traffic control, things like that. When it starts affecting people, not just the people who are doing the job that are going without a paycheck, but of course those people who depend on those people who do that job. And that's the question. After Steny Hoyer's comments on Fox News, there could be a whole new ball game here. What's interesting
is... Are they... And again, we don't see the internal polls. We mm-hmm. don't know how they are polling. We see the public polls.
Right, right.
And for example, you and I said when we saw the poll that said the majority of people blame Trump. Yeah, but when you ask the question who was responsible for it, there may be a significant number of people saying Trump because he wants the wall, and I agree with them on that.
Right.
Well, you're saying he's responsible because he's the one doing what nobody else will do, but it's not necessarily a negative to you. So my point is, the question is not always framed in the right way. Did Steny Hoyer react yesterday on Bret Baier, as we played the audio cut earlier, where he rejected Nancy Pelosi's comment that a wall is immoral, and he specifically said a wall is not immoral unless it's to keep people in?
Right.
So none of the current wall that exists, he was asked if the wall is immoral, would he take down, if the wall was ineffective, because we heard all, there was the other point, we say walls are ineffective, would you take down the current walls? He goes, well, no, because walls aren't always ineffective.
Right.
So, you know, they are effective in some of the areas. So he conceded that. And then when Brett Baer hit him on the Bob O'Rourke comment that fences are, you know racism, a racist solution to a racist myth, he also rejected that.
Right.
So what type of pressure are they feeling inside the Democrat Party? Is all of the pressure on the president and the White House, or was Steny Hoyer's comment a little clue that there's also pressure on the Democrats right now? Look, we have said we believe that the party is the party of open borders, and a growing number, you know, number of people that the Democratic Party stands for open borders. And they do because they support sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. But there are some Democrats that look at it and say, okay, even if I believe in it, it's a losing proposition. We can't convince the American public of that. And maybe there are some Democrats, even in the party still that are left, that don't buy into where the Democrat Party is going, which is open borders and sanctuary cities and voting in elections and giving welfare and giving health, you know, health care to illegal immigrants. Maybe there's a small minority that still doesn't fit that bill, and maybe some of it's in the leadership. Or maybe they just feel that they can't win the position with the voter, and they can't win it with the independent, and they can't win it with a significant number of Democrats were saying, look, you say you're for border security, well, but you say you're also for amnesty. Well, why don't you start bargaining with the president? Give him what he wants.
Right.
And are they doing some of the polling that's saying that, look, if you agree with the president on this, but get this, this, and this, and this, it's not going to affect your base? Are they getting that type of feedback in their internal polling? Saying, look, you can cooperate with the president. You've cooperated with the president on other issues before. And you can cooperate with the president on this. You can give him, you can compromise and give him his barrier for $3 billion. And you can get this, 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 and this, which will help you with your particular base. Are they starting to feel some of that would be the question.
Yeah, and I wonder if anything is added to that with the response, some of the negative response you've gotten, or they've gotten, the Democrats have gotten, with the announcement in New York City that they're going to pay for health care,
yes,
provide free health care to undocumented immigrants, and California is considering the same program. Well, that's those two representatives right there, the face of the back and forth, the two faces on the left have been Chuck Schumer from New York and Nancy Pelosi from California. So again, we're just asking questions, because something, it could be that Steny Hoyer tomorrow issues a statement and says, sorry, I misspoke. It is immoral.
Yes, I misspoke on everything.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened. I have no idea. Someone says I was on Fox News. But here's the difference. And we go through this, and we, in knowing that, first of all, who he is, he's the House Majority Leader. He's the number two in the House. Who does number two work for? Well, Nancy Pelosi. Sorry, Mike Myers, I had to do that. Well, and then the other part of it.
So is, speaker, is the, so he in essence is beneath Speaker Evil.
Yes, that's right. I'm pretty sure she has a hairless cat. I'm pretty sure she carries one around with her all the time. But the other part of it is that he was very deliberate in his answers.
Yeah, that's the that,
he did yeah. not he did not give the non-answers. If he had been flustered, which he was, and kind of went back and forth, and gave the non-answer, that would be one thing. He didn't give non-answers.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's head to you. We go to Frankie in Astoria, New York. Frankie, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Yes. Good morning, guys. I'm calling because I want to say that I believe that Nancy Pelosi is not telling the truth about why she doesn't want to work with President Trump. She's forcing President Trump to do what she wants President Trump to do, twisting his arm and making him, forcing him to tell lies about why he shut down the government. And I think this is very unfair from her. She does not want to negotiate, and she's blaming everything on him only. And, you know, I think that what's going to happen is that Nancy Pelosi is going to get her way, and President Trump will...
Well, let me ask you this. I need to ask this. How is Pelosi forcing Trump to lie?
I'll tell you how she is. She's stating things about the government shutdown that have to do with him himself, President Trump, working with Republican senatorial congressional leaders that are saying that they're purposely trying to shut down the government to make everyone suffer. When President Trump did not run on that platform, he ran on Make America Great Again.
How does that make Trump lie? Where's Trump lying in response to that? And how is he being forced to lie? That's what you said. He's being forced to lie by Nancy Pelosi. I still don't get it.
Okay. Well, Nancy is saying that President Trump does not support immigrants. Nancy Pelosi saying that President Trump is an insensitive human being that does not want to support immigrant rights and has a secret agenda.
So where's the lie from Trump?
Yeah, where's the lie from Trump? Well
Trump is not lying. She's
but
saying
you
that
were saying
Trump,
he's she's forcing him to lie.
Saying things that he never...
Okay,
said.
All right. We appreciate the Thanks. Call, but it's the statement was she's forcing him to lie, which is why I wanted to go to your call because I thought it would be interesting. What's the lie that Trump is telling? Look, when Jim Acosta and him were going back and forth, when Acosta when baby Jim was kicked out for a while, and they had that back and forth. It was he tried to make that case that Trump didn't care about immigrants. And Trump said, well, excuse me, wait a minute. No, I want immigration here. Don't confuse illegal immigration with immigration. I want immigrants to come here from around the world. We need them as work. We need them as workers. And, people that want to come to America to become Americans and go through the process, he was fine with. So I just rethink and, you know, send us an email because I still don't know where you're going on that.
No.
Let us go to Kurt in South. We go to Kurt. I'm not sure where he's calling from. Kurt, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's South Haven, Michigan, by the way, where I live.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, no problem. I find it fascinating that Speaker Pelosi... One of the top reasons she gives that she doesn't want the president to make the speech, State of the Union, is that she has security concerns. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Let me get this right. So if she's worried about protecting her own rear end and all the elites up on the Hill, But when it comes down to security on the border, and it's not an issue. And you poor serfs don't need to worry about it. Everything is okay, and life is grand.
Right.
So where I would love for Brett Baird to call her on that one.
That's an obvious but great point.
Yep.
It's a great point.
Yeah,
thanks
right
so
on
much.
It, Kurt. Thank you so much. Yes. We appreciate it. But, you know, there's and there's the hypocrisy once again. By the way, you know, you have Secret Service saying, you know, it's not an issue in terms of the State of the Union. There's not going to be an issue with security. Everybody knows that.
Was Nancy saying that there was a crisis?
Right. Is it immoral?
I think security for the State of the Union is immoral.
By the way, some of the coverage of that people were using, or some of the articles were using the word cancel. Well, she hasn't rescinded her invitation. That's how it works. The Speaker invites the President.
Right.
Formally, she has not rescinded her formal invitation.
First thing I said to you in our pre-show meeting, I said, Eric, am I missing something?
Yeah.
I'm seeing that she sent the letter
suggesting he postpone.
Right, suggesting, but I'm reading these headlines that say she cancels, she cancels.
No. Nope.
I can't find any
she
story.
Did not, she did
where
not
she
rescind
canceled.
It. She did not rescind it. Now, she might, but that's going to be a big deal if she does. That's going to be a huge deal. And she also suggested maybe he just, put it in writing, say to the, you know what? She really has no clue who Trump is. And she also has no clue, as the Washington Examiner points out, that this actually works in favor for him. Politically, that was a bad move for her. For Omnitracs, here's your forecast.
We have an area of rain and mixed precip in the nation's heartland. Near St. Louis, all rain. As you get over to portions of western Illinois, it's all rain. But then just slightly northward in northern Missouri and central Illinois, look for that rain-snow boundary and a mixed bag of sleet and freezing rain. That system's all moving to the east throughout the day today, affecting portions of central Illinois, central Indiana. For Thursday night into Friday, we'll see portions of Virginia, D.C., central Ohio, and eastern West Virginia, all under the threat of some freezing rain. Move north of that line, and for Pennsylvania, New York, including New York City, look for all snow, and it's a fast-moving system. By Friday during the day, we'll see temperatures warm up, and the snow and mixed precip not quite a problem. Mountain snow and rains continue to hammer the western U.S. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Wag their fingers, and occasionally their thumbs, too. Gary McNamara and Eric Harling on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harling, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I was going to play this yesterday. We just didn't get time, so I want to play it again today because it is a very important constituency and demographic that has supported the President Trump all across the board. Vice did an interview, I think it's Vice TV, interview with Ann Coulter. And I want to play a portion of it where she gets tough on Trump and says that, you know, why is he reacting the way he has over the last couple of weeks when she believes, in essence, that he has betrayed the movement.
Right.
And she says because if he doesn't build the wall, he's dead in the water. He will not be reelected again. She believes that he has come to the realization. Remember, after they were backing off. And as we said, this, it's very important to understand because we've gotten response saying the president keeps standing strong and I'll stand behind him. President didn't stand strong. President was willing to give up everything just a month ago when he sent, Sarah Huckabee Sanders out, stating they don't need the money from Congress, they can do it on their own. Well, that wasn't truthful. They weren't going to do another. They were backing off. And it was the response of the the left made fun of him for that. Said, oh, he's just responding to Ann Coulter and Drudge and Rush and Mark Levin and all those. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's. Yeah. Yeah, those are a lot of the people that represent his loyal base. And as you'll hear it here from her, she said it's survival.
Sure. Yeah.
It's self-preservation that he finally realized if he didn't do this, she believes he got the message, he can't win in 2020.
Right.
That he did not expect the blowback that came upon this. But remember, though, really, except for Ann Coulter early on, when they would negotiate budget issues a year ago at this time, when he didn't do the wall, there really wasn't an outcry. We had mentioned it on the show over and over again. We said, uh-oh, he didn't do it. Now he pushed it back. If he pushed back now... It was a year ago, I think, roughly a year ago, when they had one of the budget measures, and he pushed it back to September, and then he felt some of the heat and said, but I won't let it go in September. And we said on the air, yes, you will, because you're not going to do that before. You're not going to shut down the government before a midterm election. Mm-hmm. And he did not.
Right.
And then so a lot of people, then he said at that point, but come Christmas, no, we're going to do it. And when he backed off again, that's when you really had an outcry from a lot of the conservative and maybe populist media out there that sent him the message that if you don't do this, you're dead. Politically, you're dead. You cannot win in 2020 if you back off now, because this was a core promise. I want to play this here. This is Vice and their interview with just part of the interview with Ann Coulter.
Okay, how does it end? Why is he not doing this the way you want him to do it? How should he do it? How should he get that wall?
Yeah, okay, he screwed up for 2 years and didn't. But finally, with 3 seconds on the clock, he's finally throwing the ball. So I'm not going to complain about that. As long as he makes the fight about immigration, he will win. I noticed the polls right after his Oval Office address. For one thing, wow, we didn't hear much about polls after that Oval Office address. And finally, one gets produced, and yeah, most people agreed with him.
You have to give something up, don't you? I mean, it's just the nature of the negotiations. Democrats are not going to fold like a house of cards. What do you give up?
Trump has already given up. I mean, I'm sorry that it turns out he's the worst negotiator God ever created, but that's where we are. He needs $20 billion for a wall. He's already only asked for $5.7 billion. Just spend it, and we get the government up and running again.
I thought he was a great negotiator. He was a great businessman.
Turns out that was exaggerated.
You gotta do something. I mean, Democrats are not gonna just say, all right, here's the wall, let's get the TSA guys back.
We'll see what happens. Oh gosh, they'll have to wait a few months before they know fully well they're going to be paid in full. Look, I'm not in favor of this, but this previous shutdowns have been much more difficult. More Americans dying of drug overdoses every year than died in the entire course of the Vietnam War. And the vast majority of those drugs are being brought in because we have a wide open border. I care about that more than I care about the Yosemite gift shop being open.
There's two Ann Coulters here. There's the Ann Coulter that wrote In Trump We Trust and supported him during the campaign and introduced him. And then there's the other one that acknowledges that all this stuff has been usurped by Wall Street, by people in the administration. They didn't drain the swamp.
That's fair to say.
He's wading through the swamp, right? So great. Fantastic.
There we go.
Donald Trump talks a good game for people who agree with you. But what the hell does he do?
For 18 months, he said all the right things. He never cared about what Manhattan elite said. And then, bam, Election Day 2016, suddenly all he wants is the approval of Manhattan elites. Who could have seen that coming?
There you go.
World's worst negotiator. little bit of hyperbole. But again, I think making some of the points that we have made, but the question is, you know, because he clearly hasn't wavered since the shutdown, because it's still going on. And
Oh, by the way, she does say that. Hang on here. Did I erase it already? I got rid of it already.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but she did say that later on in the interview.
Right.
Why did he change? She said self-preservation and ego is what she said.
Right, which is, you know, part of it. I mean, politically, right. if he's going to get reelected, he's going to need his base, and if his base is jumping off board, a number of them, and it was a pretty loud reaction.
And she said at the end of the interview, if he doesn't build the wall, he's dead, dead, dead. I mean, that's the quote.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'm not sure. If he doesn't keep up the fight, then she has a point. Politically, it's not going to be great.
Well, I'm not debating her. I'm just letting people know that demographic exists. I don't know what the future is going to bring, but the fact is she was Ann Coulter, whether you like her or dislike her, that's not the point. The point is, she was a leader of one of the core demographics that got him elected. She was aboard early on. She wrote the book on Trump and was the first to turn on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she said, wait a minute, this is not what he was. Now, I don't know how she views, what did she call it? The elite out there, Wall Street or what would she call them? New York elite, whatever that even,
Manhattan elite.
Manhattan elite. I don't understand what that term, I'll be frank with you. I don't understand what that term means.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we have said this, we have pointed out though that it's important to remember that the original swamp was about government spending. That's what it was about. The original swamp that he talked about was the Republicans spending like crazy. Well, Trump has enabled that swamp. He hasn't fought that at all. Now he has made proclamations that will cut a little bit in the government here or there while they're spending trillions of dollars in other areas. Didn't trim the budget at all.
No.
The budget went, you know, has gone through the roof. And he didn't want to fight the swamp in the Republican Party in order to change that. And so, you know, that I understand, but how that relates to the Manhattan elite, she would have to explain that to me, who she specifically is talking about, because I don't live in Manhattan, I don't live in New York, and so I can't tell you. I'm not really sure what that means, that statement.
No, I don't know. And how it's relevant, because we're talking clearly about his wider base and the effect there. So, don't know. But if the administration detects some kind of break in the ranks, and based on what Steny Hoyer said, there's good reason to believe that there is at least some, then do they believe that there's an inroad there? That there would be. And if the compromise is there, what is it? If Steny Hoyer is right, and I don't believe him, but assume for the sake of the discussion at the moment that he is, what is that compromise then? $2.5 billion? I don't know. Not sure.
Was it you or somebody? Did you say this off the air yesterday, or was it somebody else?
What?
That if somebody offered Trump $2.5 billion right now, he'd take it.
I think he would. It was me. And I just get the feeling, I think that if they came back and they said $2.5 billion, he would take that as a win because Nancy had already set the table saying, we're not giving him a dime.
Right. And Ann Coulter made the point that, let's say hypothetically, he took $2.5 million. He's taking 10% of what he wanted for the wall.
Right.
So you're not going to see a wall during his term.
Right.
If he gets a $2.5 billion, but they're looking for any win at that point. And remember, think about this. He was able to go from $25 billion to $5.7
billion
without any political repercussions, really,
right,
from his base.
Right.
Now, from Ann Coulter, she, maybe not her and maybe not a portion of the base, because now the 5.7 has become the entire wall of $25 billion, which, of course, it is not. It's just 200 miles. But is maybe that's part of what you were stating before, that as long as his base sees that he's trying.
And he's got to put up the fight.
And that would be putting up the fight that at least you've got 200 miles of the wall in construction.
Right.
At least that's gone further than it would have gone if Hillary was president, and that's the whole point.
Well, and it's better than zero in terms of progress on the wall.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Roanoke, Virginia. James, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good.
Very good. So I'm kind of a staunch conservative, grew up poor, made a good living myself, going to college, so on and so forth. But the other day when Nancy said the wall was immoral, I started to ponder the fact that does she also consider that it, or does she believe that it's immoral to, uphold the laws of our country? And personally, I think it's immoral that we're still paying people like her to do nothing, to not resolve the issues. Immigration's been an issue for, 30-plus years?
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
Well, in the real world, we all know, in the real world, we all know that we actually pay politicians to work against our best interest all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
for them to do nothing at times may be an advantage over them actually doing something.
Because nothing, and I'll say this, nothing most often, and I say most often, costs nothing. It doesn't always cost nothing. Sometimes doing nothing costs something, but doing something always costs something.
You make a great point.
Yeah, thanks, James. We appreciate it.
You make a point there, Eric, except normally doing nothing doesn't cost you any money except in government.
Exactly. It's the only place where doing nothing actually can cost you something.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 of Red Eye. Yeah, I think that when you said probably the little over-the-top hyperbole from Ann Coulter when she called Trump the worst negotiator ever.
Yeah.
Because all I had to think of was, okay, what were those negotiations like with Obama when they traded an American deserter for 5 al-Qaeda leaders? Mm-hmm. That wasn't exactly a bit of negotiation genius,
right?
At that point, and probably when you look at the Iran deal, you have to look,
all give and no take,
right? You have to look at those and say, well, what did we get in either of those cases? So, look, we've criticized the president at times and especially on some of the trade issues and said, look, he claimed he was negotiating a great deal. He claimed he was going to negotiate this and he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't oversell it at times. But I see what's going on right now, what I think is going on right now with China. And I think that's probably a good negotiation. Look, it's a mixed bag for anybody who's in the office.
We'll be able to look back when he's no longer president. We can look back and say, okay, what did he get done? Yeah, and how were those skills? Worst negotiator ever? Okay. I would just tone that down just a little bit.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.